peace and love, peace and love.
Welcome to this neighborhood, neighbor.
My mom always said, life was like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're gonna get.
You know what I am? I'm a housewife that figured it out.
Wow, 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 woo!
And now, here's the host of Good Things Radio, Brooke Taylor.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Good Things Radio episode number 76 from a place called Rock House Tavern off campus of Notre Dame University with Disco Light in South Bend, Indiana with me, Brooke Taylor, and Christina and Vicky, who I know you're very familiar with. And we're going to give this a try, but probably very quickly shut down the podcast and do it from a different location because we're in a really unexpected loud place right now. We were trying to find some place. I feel like this is like a Catholic version of Hangover because we were trying to find a place to eat. We ran into a cop, one of your compatriots, Vicky, and she said, you got to go to this place. So we walked in and there's Guns N' Roses playing. And people with beards and leather. Yeah. And then there was Nirvana and then they just played Pearl Jam. But now the music stopped.
Oh, so
why don't we just give this a try?
Okay.
And if it starts to, or if a fight breaks out, we'll just...
And Vicky has to go.
Call it a day.
Because we've got this road trip, so it's loud on the road.
Right.
And we're trying to do a show coming to you from a remote location. And the reason why is because you guys were angels of mercy as you drove 8 hours from Ohio to Silvis, Illinois, where I was blessed to be speaking at Our Lady of Guadalupe Church. It was a weekend retreat, three talks. You guys were there, made new friends. And so I just want to kind of give some highlights of the weekend. Also coming up in episode number 76 today, we're going to talk to one of the amazing women at this church. She's the wife of the deacon and has an incredible story. Her husband, Deacon Matt, Jewish, converted to the Catholic faith. They adopted 5 children. So she's going to come up later in the program. It is a little bit of an odd, unusual format today. We're not going to start with the regular prayer, although we could.
But why not?
Yes.
I guess we could. Do you guys want to?
Yeah, and then you can just bless our food because it'll be coming out.
Okay.
Okay.
And hopefully there will be no, like, Grateful Dead playing as we start this.
Okay.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for the way you call us to step out of our boat and our comfort zone and ask us to enter into new territory and make your name known. Thank you. Lord, we praise you for the gift of fellowship and good friends and the opportunity to evangelize. What a great country we live in that we can travel and celebrate and have new adventures. We just ask for each listener this week and all the adventures in our lives, especially as we prepare for the election. We pray for our health, our families, the time of preparation as we draw closer to the Feast of All Saints and All Souls Day, and that the intercession of the saints will be rich in our lives, especially in this time of our country and globally. Lord, help ease our suffering. In Jesus' name, amen. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Okay, so Vicky and Christina, your weekend really started Friday morning because you got up early, 6 a.m., packed up a rental car.
Yep.
Vicky, you picked up Christina. So talk a little bit about your road trip. Because you guys, I mean, you met at the Arise Retreat, listen to the podcast, kind of live in the same area, but are relatively new friends.
Yeah.
Yeah, about 6 months.
Okay.
And I feel like I've known her my entire life.
So was there anything about it that you're like, oh, I don't know if we're going to be able to make conversation or, you know, this is...
No, no.
That wasn't a problem.
It's just, am I going to interrupt her too much? Is she going to, like, cut me off? Like, yeah, we don't stop.
Or are we going to have enough time to talk about everything we want to talk about without being interrupted by kids? I think that was the big thing.
How fun.
Yeah.
So
it went so fast.
And no, like, speeding tickets or issues?
No,
or,
no.
Okay.
Not at all.
Well, except that construction zone.
Well, we didn't see the flagger. Well, he really wasn't flagging, and so we kind of went straight, and then the guy standing at the end of the new concrete waving and waving with his big arms. I guess we weren't supposed to go that way. But then he was walking and walking and walking towards us, so we thought, okay, well, let's, like, drive slowly up to him so that he didn't have to walk so far, and he freaked out. No!
He freaked out.
Well, I don't know why that flagger didn't flag you, but you ladies got to turn around there. Okay, sorry. Yeah, I'm like, we're from Ohio. The Indians.
You have to have a memory like that. I mean, you've got to be able to make a memory with that.
Yeah,
it's not like is epic.
Well, we were talking about the Griswolds in the first one when they went off the road, and then literally, as I said, that on the other side of the highway was the Green Family Truckster. We saw it, the real one. Yes, with the panels.
Wow.
I'm like, Because, you know, when you're on a road trip, you have to reference movies, and yes, so we did.
That's in soundtrack and songs. So you got there. It is a beautiful little city called the Quad City. So we went to the American Pickers Antique Archaeology headquarters.
Yes.
Met Father Peter Zorgin, who's amazing.
Oh,
young
such
priest
a good tour guide. And there's the Mississippi River with the beautiful fall leaves, and that was awesome, too.
And the weekend highlights for you, Vicki. I mean, we're leaving now, so it was a quick turnaround trip, but what was your favorite highlight for the weekend?
I say my favorite two highlights was meeting Lisa, the deacon's wife.
Who we'll hear coming up.
And also meeting a lovely gentleman who was there serving with Father Peter and who had an object. It was a baby Jesus. A little tiny baby Jesus that Mother Angelica had given him, and he was kind enough to share it with us.
Wow. So it was, you said, just in the palm of his hand?
Yes, it was just in the palm of his hand. It was like a little, like, it almost looked like a toy, like a baby doll, but it was a baby Jesus. And he carried it in this worn leather case that he kept in his pocket right next to his heart, and it was just an amazing experience just being able to have him share that with us.
And you said he gave it to you and had you put it near your heart?
Yeah, he told me to put it in the palm of my hand and close my hand over it and put my hand by my heart and close my eyes and to open my heart to whatever the baby Jesus was going to do for me, and that the baby Jesus knew exactly what I needed.
Isn't that amazing how you don't know someone or that they even exist, and you go somewhere and you are able to have such a great connection on a spiritual level on such a short time?
Absolutely, and it was totally unexpected.
And now you're going to be praying for him. He knows you. This is the thing that I love about being called out. And especially, we've talked about that as an introvert, it's hard. It was harder for me to appreciate those things at first because I was thinking only of, this is going to be uncomfortable. I'm going to be with people that I don't know. But the Lord always rewards when we walk out in faith for him. What a beautiful thing. A little thing, but a highlight.
Yeah, absolutely.
And what about for you?
I think the highlight was just meeting all the people and talking to them and them just, you know, kind of thanking me for coming and thanking me. And I'm like, okay, like, you don't have to thank me. Like, and it was just, it was neat for them to appreciate us. And Father calling us all up at the end and blessing us and blessing our journey. And then he said to us, you know, that this wasn't goodbye. That, what did he say? We'll see you when we...
He talked about a line in Peter Pan.
Yeah.
And how when you say goodbye, you forget. And we're never going to forget. We're not going to say goodbye. Yeah. And until we see
until
each
we
other
meet
again.
Until we meet again. And that was just so beautiful.
The blessing for all of us, and, you know, personally, is today, the day that I spoke or gave two talks, it's the Feast of John Paul II as we're recording this. And what a gift that is to be reminded of the way the saints intercede in our lives. And I think that's really important as we approach All Saints Day and All Souls Day, because the meaning can so quickly and easily get lost with trick-or-treating and Halloween. And for those that have listened to the podcast for a long time, you may remember this also is coming up on the one-year anniversary of my best friend Jen, her daughter, dying. So if you could keep her in your prayers as well. But those, for me, were the highlights of the weekend, were hearing the stories. A woman came up and she said, 16 years ago, my husband was murdered. And just about walking through life with that pain. And when you see someone, you have no idea what they've been through. But the importance to wear a smile, which can be therapy for others, and just, you know, the opportunity to connect as women and friends. And the funny thing is, I went out of the sanctuary and I heard you guys talking about recipes. And it's just so hilarious to me that women, without skipping a beat, are able to find common ground. And because I'm just selling aprons. That's one of the things. So what did I miss about the recipes? And you were talking about a recipe, too, that you wanted to share, Christina.
Oh, yeah. I was talking to Prudence, the church secretary, who was such a lovely hostess to us and just so beautiful. And what I do when I make chili, because it's chili weather, I add, don't tell my family, a can of pureed pumpkin. And I read this online one time, and I tried it, because pumpkin doesn't have any flavor, and whatever you add to it, it picks up that flavor. So there's no, and it just adds vitamin A. that whole big dish of vitamin A that your family is getting and they have no idea. It makes it a little creamier.
Yeah.
So please, please, please try it. Add a can of pureed pumpkin to your chili recipe, whatever you use, and it's amazing.
And it was really funny because you guys, I was just sitting there and you and Father Peter, Vicky, Christina, talking about your favorite cooking shows. I think you guys, we needed a reality show in that moment. Because what was your favorite? I don't even remember.
The Pioneer Woman, because okay. One time she blogged about her marriage and what she was going to make for her husband for their anniversary. And she blogged about the sacrament of marriage and how important it was and how she showed love for her husband by serving him through her cooking and her food. And I just thought, what a good example, especially when you're going to watch something with your family, to have like a good role model and a good example. And so, yeah.
And what about yours?
My favorite was... favorite cooking show or favorite recipe?
Yeah, well, cooking show.
It was the Pioneer Woman as well, and I liked the way that she served her family. At the one episode in particular was when they were out vaccinating the cattle, and she cooked breakfast and put it in the back of a truck and took it out to the field, and everyone had a picnic out on the field, and I thought that was awesome because you can't always sit and have family time around the table. Sometimes you have to take the dinner to the family.
See, I live in the wrong time and era because I hear you say vaccinating cattle and something of it's like that sounds so romantic, not romantic, but there's like a simplicity about it. And you take the eggs that you go out with, like you ride your horse out there, not really, but I mean it just sounds so nice. I guess it's because we're watching Longmire, and that's a episode or it's a show that we talked about in a previous podcast about what's your favorite program. And I want to follow up on that too because I don't know if I told you guys this, I was so excited to see, I think I did tell you, one of the third or fourth episodes. If you've seen Anne of Green Gables, you know the main character is Megan Follows. She plays Anne.
Yeah.
Well, she's all grown up now, and she's actually in one of the episodes. I didn't tell you this. So it's the one, I don't mean to be a spoiler alert, but it's the one where the guy raises, like, thoroughbred horses, but he's really in the mob, like he's running from the mob, and the barn gets on fire. And the moment I saw her, I knew who it was. And my poor husband, because I grabbed his shoulder and was squealing, and he's like, what is your problem? But I do love, now we're really hooked on Longmire. And I think because the weather's changing, we've talked about this, like just the inside kind of getting cozy. And with Netflix, you can binge watch.
Put your pajamas on.
Put your furry pajamas on, cuddle up. So Longmire is definitely top of the list. What Poldark, that's another one that several listeners have said they've really gotten hooked on, including Mark, my producer, can't stop watching that. So if you've not watched Poldark, I think it's Amazon.
Okay. Yeah.
I'm not sure. Any that you're, oh, what's the, a couple of them. You talked about the Survivor, the Designated Survivor one.
Designated Survivor, yeah. It stars Kiefer Sutherland as the president. And what's interesting is basically the premise of the show is that Congress, Senate, and the president, vice president have been murdered in a terrorist attack, and he's the 12th in line for president, and he becomes president as a result of that. And it's just all the day-to-day happenings after he becomes president. It's very interesting.
And you said it's on Hulu?
It's on Hulu.
I have not had any alcohol. I'm the only one in here that hasn't.
Yeah, it's on regular TV. I don't know what night it's on because I watch it on Hulu, but it's on regular television.
Okay. And what's the one, the story, the Us, This Is Us?
Oh, this Is Us, yeah.
Okay.
It's a drama. The first episode, I just cried. You have to watch it because it's hard to explain because there's some flashbacks and some going forward and stuff, but there's some adoption, there's some family.
Okay.
And you know, family's always got twists and turns and stuff, but it's very well written and it's funny and, yeah, so you're laughing and crying and it's really good. And it's on Tuesday nights on...
Will the guys like it?
They might. I don't know.
You're not very confident.
My husband's on swing shifts. I'm watching it by myself.
And if you live in Cleveland, the World Series is a big deal.
Oh, yeah.
So,
absolutely.
Obviously, that's going to be top of mind as we're rooting for... Which is exciting. I feel really blessed and lucky and, at the same time, wholly unqualified because the year that I work at this news station where we cover, we carry the Cavs, we carry the Indians... and they make it, and it's like, I gotta learn all these names.
Maybe it's you. Maybe you broke the curse.
Yes, it is. I will take responsibility.
Or credit. No, it's not.
But you also, real quick, because I want to talk about that bruschetta. Father was just lavish in the way that he spoiled us for dinner. Took us out to Italian. He is a lover of food, just like we talked about the chefs and the different cooking shows. So he was telling us about veal and all these things that he likes there. But we had the best bruschetta I've ever had, even just coming back from Italy recently. And what did you say was in it?
They made it with ricotta cheese, or I guess it's pronounced ricotta cheese, and they just had a little drizzle of
I like how you used your hands when you said that.
They just had a little drizzle of olive oil and tomatoes on it and a little bit of sea salt, and it was just a very simple recipe, but it was amazing. Okay. I could have eaten that for dinner.
Yeah, so that's a quick one, too. So between the chili, pumpkin, and the ricotta with the with the hands and the bruschetta, then that's a good one, too. Yeah. Okay, well, I guess we're going to wrap up because someone just challenged you to an arm wrestling competition, so we're going to have to go. Yeah. So God bless you, and I don't know. You know, we'll see how.
If we get back on before the retreat, you don't know. Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm just I'm trying to figure out what's next.
Okay.
But it's hard in this environment. So we'll wrap it up. Thank you, Christina. Thank you, Vicky.
Thank you
for all that you've added to the weekend. And check out this interview with Lisa. Her story, her heart, and she will inspire you and move you. So, well, first, welcome. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Lisa Levy and her husband, Matt, and we spoke a little bit last night, but the more that we talk, I'm thinking, I got to get you on the show. We got to get you. The world needs to know about you. I mean, your story is amazing. Your heart, your spirit, and it's hard to know where to start because we could do a whole show easily, I'm sure. But I just want to kind of introduce you a little bit to the listeners, and you were telling me one of the first few minutes of our conversation that you are an adoptive mom of five.
Correct.
Also that your husband is Jewish, converted to Catholicism, and
correct.
Is a deacon.
That's right.
So I want to start there because his story alone, I know, could be a book. But your husband, Matt, was Jewish from New York. So talk a little bit about his conversion and then how you met and
sure.
a bit of your story.
Well, it probably would make the most sense if I start with how we met, and then I can kind of piece it together for you briefly. I was in college at the University of Arizona in Tucson.
Okay.
And one of my best friends said, hey, let's go to San Diego on our spring break and meet my brother, who's in the Navy, at Coronado. So Gretchen and I went off to San Diego, and her brother, who was just passing through, both Matt and Jeffrey were just passing through, had invited just some acquaintances to dinner. Matt was a naval flight officer at the time and was in a POW training camp in the desert. And just that day had come back from several weeks of eating rabbits and snakes and stuff in the desert and
as military men
avoidance tactics
so well
whatever
yes
so I sat across from Matt at the dinner table and he was famished and he's just his head was down most of the time just eating and every once in a while he'd say something really charming and funny and he would look
in
up
in between bites
yeah and we had an immediate connection. I mean, immediate. Mm-hmm. And so much so, he had invited this girl he had met to dinner, and we took her home, and we spent a couple of days together, and on. Okay, so that was in March. In April, which was Easter, my parents were so concerned because I told them right away I met the man that I want to marry.
So it sounds love at first sight and love at first bite.
That's right. That's right. Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
And it sounds like there. I think someone's mowing the lawn.
They
the window,
are mowing.
Which cracks me up.
It's Saturday.
We closed the door right into a private room so that it would be quiet.
I know.
It is what it is.
It's God's creation.
So you were back to yeah.
Okay.
That's a good way to look at it because we're talking about praise.
Right.
So your parents were concerned.
very concerned. I said, Mom and Dad, Matt is from New York City. He is in the Navy. He flies.
And you're cringing as you're saying this, because did you think it would not go over well?
Well, because it was so sudden. I mean, God just dropped Matt out of the sky. I mean, it was so God.
Yeah.
You know, and I said, well, and he lives in Hawaii. He's on his way to his first duty station, and he's Jewish, you know. So
and you were Catholic.
And I was born and raised Catholic.
Okay.
And one of the things I said to Matt was, our children will be raised Catholic. End of the story. No discussion. And he was fine. So he goes off to his duty station. God is working on him. And he draws suddenly from an experience he had when he was still in college in New York City at the Merchant Marine Academy. They pulled into Naples, and he took the watch so all the Catholic guys could go off and do their Sunday Mass commitment.
So they're in Naples, Italy.
In Naples, Italy.
The men are going to Mass. He's staying back.
On their ship.
Okay.
You know, on a training cruise. So everybody goes off, and his replacement comes back, and he gets to leave the ship. And Matt is very, very fly-by-the-seat-of-your-pants, Holy Spirit kind of guy. So he's like, okay, I'm just going to follow the crowd. So he gets on the train, and he follows this crowd, and oh my gosh, all these people are amassing, and there's this huge crowd. All of a sudden, he finds himself literally in this humongous square, and there's like a gazillion people. And he's getting pushed into these barricades, and he's like, oh my gosh, what is going on? And pretty soon, this is a very brief version, this man in a white robe comes to a balcony, and he's like, oh, that's interesting. And
he didn't even know where
he was. No, he had no clue. He's coming. He gets pushed closer and closer to the front. Pretty soon, the man is larger than life, and it's Pope John Paul II. And he had been
in St. Peter's Square.
Yes, in St. Peter's Square.
Wow.
And he had only been the Pope for just a few months. Pretty soon, the Pope comes right up to Matt, shakes his hand. Matt has his Kodak out. He's like, my Jewish mother is not going to believe this. Takes a picture of shaking hands with John
Paul
II.
Did he know who he was at that point?
At that point, he did.
Okay.
And he said he felt such a presence of Christ.
And this is years before he met you.
Yes.
But he's reflecting on this experience.
Yes.
And that stayed with him.
Now we're back to, we have just met. He's at his first duty station in Hawaii. He goes on deployment out in the Pacific. So pretty soon he gets hooked up with a Baptist Bible study group because the chaplain for the squadron was Baptist. Pretty soon, he's baptized Baptist in the South China Sea.
Wow.
And I'm like, okay, this is really good. This is good. But I never forced my Catholic faith on him.
Okay.
Never. He is a God's project, not mine. Mm-hmm. So we get married in the Catholic Church at my home parish.
This baptism happened, was he writing you letters and that's how you knew?
Yes, yes.
Okay, and then when he came back from deployment, you guys got married?
I finished college. He finished his first round of deployments. And here's the thing, Brooke. He was so drawn to that Bible study because he's like, oh my gosh, they're talking about my Old Testament roots.
Yes.
And oh my gosh, the Old Testament is being fulfilled in the New Testament in Christ. And this set him on fire.
So as a Jew, was he observant? Was his family devout? Or was it?
Yes. As a child, they were very involved.
The Pentateuch. He knew all of
yes.
this.
Okay. Oh, yes. And he even says that they had hopes that maybe he would become a rabbi one day, you know. And so then you fast forward it. We get married. And then finally, just around the time we adopted our first daughter, Sarah, he's in RCIA class. And Matt, I mean, he's like gung-ho. He's like, but he's not quite sure. So he takes the RCIA class a second time.
What was he not sure about?
He just trying to make peace with his Jewish history? Would he be disappointing his family? Mm. Would he be letting them down? Would they think that he's rejecting his faith? And so God said, oh, no. He said, this is a fulfillment who you were as a Jewish man, you know.
What was his thought about the Eucharist? Was that something that...
Oh, he had no problem with the Eucharist. He absolutely understands that that host and that wine become the precious body and blood of Christ. Absolutely. And so, you know, on one of our first trips to Israel, we take groups to Israel every other year. One of our first trips, when he was at the Western Wall there in the Old City of Jerusalem, he experienced such a kindness and a grace from God that told him, your family embraces not only your Catholicism, but your role as a deacon. He was ordained in 02.
Was he called to that right away? That's a whole other
story. Oh, yeah, that's a whole other story. I mean, well, that happened after we made Curcio in 91, 92.
Okay.
Yeah.
And he heard that.
Yes.
You need to be a deacon.
Yes.
Wow.
Oh, and he's such an awesome deacon. He's been, he just retired after 15 years as being the spiritual director for a program called Teens Encounter Christ.
Oh, yes.
Yes. Yes.
And that's part of the charismatic movement, right?
Yeah.
Or no?
I'm not sure directly if it is or not.
Okay.
But
I've heard of it.
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, it's a wonderful program. Oh, and he transformed it and renewed it here in the area.
So he has done so much for the church, for your family.
Oh, and it's insane. It has not been dull.
And with the Holy Land, because you and I were both on fire. I've never been. You always go. And for him, obviously, this is the heritage and home that he so loves.
Yes.
Can you give a couple tidbits about why, as Christians, we should be called to pilgrimage there, to journey there?
Oh. Are you? This it's so magnificent. When you are walking in the footsteps of Christ and you know that our Lord was here, and when you see that Jesus used not only the place where he taught, but the time of the year, the season, the agriculture, nature, those he was with, and you go and you are in Bethlehem or Jerusalem or Judea or Bethany, wherever, and you see the creative and loving force of our Father God and how he puts that together. And the words of Scripture just jump off of the steps of, off of the pages of the Bible.
They come
if they become so alive. And when you see what our Lord suffered and how he taught in on the Sea of Galilee in a natural amphitheater, the Beatitudes, and how when you walk the Via Dolorosa in the city of Jerusalem, when you are in Bethlehem at his birthplace, when you are saw where the angel came to Mary and said, Mary, you are going to be the mother of God. Oh, my gosh. I'm telling you what. It is so insanely wonderful. And so then
you're taking us there. That's the beauty.
It is such joy. And how Israel is truly God's chosen people.
Yes.
He
and
has protected them. Through the centuries.
And we only have a few more minutes here, but I want to touch also on your adoption of 5 children.
Yes.
And I know that could be each child a story in and of itself, but it is.
Yes.
It's really interesting because adoption, fostering, being open in that way to life is something that we've touched on a little bit on the program, but in just the couple last programs, especially having the opportunity to meet with a woman named Ori Good, and her story. And now here you are. So I feel like someone is supposed to be hearing this because the message is repeating. So talk a little bit about that journey. How did you know you were called to adopt?
Well, since I was in high school, I was involved with the pro-life movement as a result of my mom's involvement.
Okay.
And she became active in 73 when Roe v. Wade was passed. So I always knew that I wanted to be an adoptive parent, whether or not I had biological children. And I shared that with Matt, and he embraced that openly. Mm-hmm. Well, we were married several years, and we weren't getting pregnant. So we said, okay, let's just adopt. Okay. So God literally dropped Sarah in our laps. She was a newborn. 5 years later then, and we were in Southern California then, 5 years later, we're back here in the Midwest, in the Chicago area, and we wanted to adopt again and grow our family. Mm-hmm. So we adopt Abe. Abe was from the Philippines. He was 10 months old. Well, then we moved to the Quad Cities here, and 2 years later, we adopted a sibling group, Chris, Victor, and Mary, and they were 5, 3, and 2.
Okay.
They were from the Philippines also, but from really horrific poverty.
What
and loss.
Agency did you use?
Bensonville Home Society, okay. LifeLink.
Okay.
Yes.
So, and are they still around today?
Yes,
I think
they
that's
are.
A lot of, you know, general questions. Where do
yes.
we start? Where do we go?
Yes.
But the Lord shows you, don't you?
Oh, my gosh. Are you? Totally. His timing is so unbelievable.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously, we could do a whole program about these adoptions. But you know, we spoke briefly about this last night and this morning. God has shown Matt and I that, number one, we are not in control. Number two, the children are more his, God's, than ours. Number three, you cannot nurture away biology, but by God did give us these children on purpose, you know, in his timing. And so no matter the trials and the challenges that we had getting them well and helping God form them into whole human beings, There was so much grace, Brooke. I can't even tell you all the challenges. Each of the children came with health issues.
And people
God
hear that and that's
provided,
scary. So
yeah,
what can you say? What
it
can
is.
You say that offers
You want to go into adoption eyes wide open. You want to talk to folks who have adopted already. You want to research adoption agencies, as many as you can talk to. What is their philosophy? Mm-hmm. Will they support you after the children come home? Do you have a good health care policy so you can manage all of the kids' health care? And do you have a good school system that will support the kids in their journey through their school years, especially in those early years, because you're going to need a lot of support? And then do you as a couple have a strong marriage, a strong family to surround you?
Yeah.
To help you, because you know with all the tender times you've had with your daughter how much support you need.
Yes.
You know, and have you spoken to your own children? If you have children already, are they going to be willing to embrace, you know, this new life?
Now,
it's huge.
The blessings.
Yes.
Talk about that.
Oh,
my gosh. Just the way, and we've talked a little bit about how, you know, God's call is so deep and wide, and the further we walk, you know, the more it expands. And it's never ending. The more we give ourselves, the more that He reveals His grace.
Right.
And so in your family story, the journey of from Judaism to Catholicism to the diaconate to adoption, how has that, and I know it's hard in just one answer, how has that been revealed to you?
That God is so good.
And you
and
work
he's
as a
so
hospice nurse, so that's a whole other story. But yes, that's part of it also.
God is love. God is love. And He is mercy. And He is so powerful. If we will just step out of our boat, if we will just take one or two steps toward Him, and He gives us His Blessed Mother to draw us to Him through her. And He gives us, as we've said, the sacraments and His precious body and that power to be a part of who we are so that we can live our lives. And it's all about how we love. And mm-hmm. and hospice has reinforced, you know, when we face the end of our life, we don't know when it's going to come. When we are talking face to face with our Lord, He's going to ask us, what did we do with our gifts? What did we do with all of those talents He gave us? What did we do with His mercy? How did we love? And, oh, How did we love?
He's so good. All about love.
He's so good. He loves us so much.
Yes.
You know, if we would just say yes and stop being so afraid.
Yeah.
And live in the power and the grace of the Holy Spirit, which is the very love and power between the Father and the Son. I mean, who doesn't want that?
Yes.
You know, like you said, are we going to open the gift or not?
Right.
Are we just going to let it sit on the floor?
But
and
when
look
you
at
do
it?
Say yes, buckle up.
Well, yeah, it's not going to be boring.
That's what life's about. That's
oh,
living
yes.
deeply and
yes.
jumping in, and with the fullness of the days that we're given, I think, you know, getting the most out of it is we give the most. So
and live day by day with yes. an attitude of gratitude.
Amen.
Jesus, I trust in you.
That's the conclusion, the summit, and as we receive him in the Eucharist, the grace that comes, knowing that we trust him with our words and our lives. Thank you so much, Lisa.
You're welcome.
God bless you.
Thank you again to Lisa Levy for such inspiring words. Thank you to Christina, to Vicky, also to Father Peter, and to all the women in Silvis, Illinois this weekend who came out to the retreat. What a beautiful experience. What an episode. This has kind of been a doozy here and still not done. There's so much to cover. So before we wrap up, just a couple more notes, and these are important. Number one, a couple of episodes back, I think it was number 74, we spoke to Erica from chaoticblessing.com, still getting feedback from you about that, by the way, dubbed her as our planner princess because that's her gift, just really good at creating beautiful books, not only for organizing daily life, but for memories too with her system. So she has a class actually being offered right now. She referenced it when she was on with us. I've gotten a couple questions and I want to tell you about it. So it's called Peaceful Planning, and it's all about preparing for the holidays in a way that will make us present for the experience, and especially the season of Advent, so that we're not rushing, we feel organized, we've got our to-do list checked off, and it's no problem. So it's a 9-week course, but it's available. This is what I love about it. It's available at your own time. And it's all about the sacrament of the moment, just walking through the season with peace. So here's the deal. She's offering not only the class to a community of women and to kind of help us together, but also the goodies that go with it. So if you're interested, a couple of the notes about her class is you get a 48-page printable that will be emailed to you. As soon as you pay, you get that 48-page printable so that you can put it in your planner. Now, they're designed for the big desktop planners, but we scaled it down to my little personal planner. So really, anybody can use these. Also, you get access to the private Facebook group, which I have loved, and live streaming classes, so you can watch that during any time with the course. And this is the other convenient part too. You don't have to be there present for the whole streaming class. You can go back and watch it as you're able. I have gotten so many tips from this already. Then you get an additional 6 printables throughout the course, including a party planner, recipe cards, everything extra for free. And it's fantastic. Right now she's offering the class on sale. We've already made like a bucket list for favorite Christmas movies, and it's just jotting it down when you get a chance. And that's what's nice about it. It's really not taking up any extra time. And before I know it, in the margins of my day, I've somehow managed to become more organized. If that is not the greatest gift to this struggling mama, I don't know what is. So I recommend it. If you're interested, if this is something that you need, go to chaoticblessing.com, join the Facebook group, and the course, again, it's on sale, and I think you're going to love it. So thank you again to Erica for the inspiration. Also, before we wrap up, I want to leave you with some thoughts about All Saints and All Souls Day, because the world will tell us it's about zombies and ghosts and the walking dead. And we know as Christians that it's a much more sacred season than that. And as I referenced earlier in the interview, it's especially, and for the rest of my life, very deep because of the loss of my best friend's daughter on October 31st last year. So we're going to have a memorial. That's a big deal coming up. But I also think it hits home that it is a time to recognize those that we love and lost and are waiting to be reunited again in heaven. So one idea that I saw was to have an altar or just a little spot that you put pictures up, photographs of those that we miss. If you have a picture, even a little funeral card, sometimes they have a holy card and it's got the picture of the person, and to put that up. We bought a votive candle, and on the votive candle, we light it, and it is our All Souls votive candle, and we write the names in magic markers of those that have passed, and we pray. and ask for their intercession. We pray for the souls in purgatory. So I think it's just not only a great way to enter into the mystery of life, death, and everlasting freedom, but also the souls in purgatory and making it a little catechism lesson. I mean, yes, you can dress up in a crazy clown, well, maybe not clown this year. You can dress up in a crazy costume, but I do think it's also important to recognize the sacred, because that's one of our responsibilities as parents, of Catholic parents forming our children, is to tell them about the season. So just a little quick lesson. This is from CatholicCuisine.com, which also has some really great recipes as well to commemorate the day. And this is what Jessica says. She said, "How or even whether we celebrate Halloween is a controversial topic in traditional circles. One hears too often that Halloween is a pagan holiday, an impossibility actually, because Halloween, as said, means All Hallows' Evening, which is as Catholic as a holiday as one can get. Some say that the holiday actually stems from Samhain, a pagan Celtic celebration, or is satanic, but this isn't true either, any more than Christmas stems from the Druids' Yule through popular customs that predated the church. Though popular customs that predated the church may be involved in our celebrations, some traditional Catholics objecting to the definite secularization of the holiday and to the myth that the entire thing is pagan to begin with, refuse to celebrate it in any way at all. Other traditional Catholics celebrate it without qualm, though keeping it Catholic and staying far away from some of the ugliness that surrounds the day in the secular world. However, one decides to spend the day, it is hoped that facts are kept straight and that Catholics refrain from judging other Catholics who decide to celebrate it differently. There are so many wonderful ways to celebrate these feasts with our families. One idea, have an All Saints tea party." And again, we shared the altar. You can also go to the cemetery and pray for those, read their names. It sounds morbid, but I think it's a beautiful thing to do. And it's a way, even in the youngest of ages, to teach our children about abstract ideas like heaven and life and death and what eternal life is and how we can pray in ways that will bless others today, even if those have died years ago, and to pray for the family who's living, pray for the souls in purgatory. So just some tips and takeaways as you walk through the week and you look at observing All Saints and All Souls Day. God bless you, and thank you so much for being a part of episode number 76. Thank you to my producer, Mark Cumming from Cumming Home Studios, for his dynamic skills and quick work. Mark is a producer extraordinaire and wears many hats. In fact, a few of my podcast listeners got together and he's actually going to be working on a homeschool CD, a project for them, which I think is fantastic. And I hope that wasn't a spoiler alert, but this is the diversity of the things that Mark does. So God bless Mark. If you want to find out more, reach out to him, connect. It's cominghomestudio.com. Thank you to our Podbean patrons. Your support is the reason the show is here. And if you want to support the show with a donation, an ongoing monthly gift, you can do that. We are grateful. We pray for each and every one of our Podbean patrons as a family. Just go to the show notes where it says become a patron, and you can donate $1 a show, $20 a month. There's no minimum, there's no maximum. And with your support, we're able to keep the show going and growing. So thank you so much. God bless you in all you have planned here in our neck of the woods. I can't believe it. Yet again, we're preparing for another sports championship, and me not being a super sports fan, but my dad was, I know that he is having a heavenly celebration with many Cleveland Indians fans, and I'm sure Cubs fans as well. This is the lineup for the World Series as it kicks off in Cleveland on Wednesday. So God bless all the teams. God bless our country as we prepare for our election. And God bless you as you walk through the week and all you have planned. Until next time, friends, God bless you.